John Fung used to say there are three steps to the meditation, getting the mind into concentration. First step is doing it. The second step is to maintain it. And the third step is to put it to use. Doing it is not all that hard. You drop all your interest in other things and you focus on the breath. Try to feel the breath wherever you sense it in the body. Allow yourself to breathe in a way that feels good. You can try long breathing for a while, short breathing, fast or slow. Or you can survey the body and ask yourself if there's any tension anywhere in the body that's keeping the breath energy from flowing smoothly. And that's pretty much it for the doing. The maintaining is the hard part. Once you've got the breath comfortable, there's often the desire to just sit back and relax, enjoy the comfort. But if you relax, you're missing the causes that keep it going. There's work to be done. And John Leet calls this concentration work. The direct thought, the evaluation, surveying the body, surveying the mind to make sure they stay together. Any little thought comes up in the mind, you just drop it. Think of yourself as being a spider on a web. Any thought comes up, you deal with it, and then you go back to your center. Just as a spider is sensitive to an entire web, but stays only in one spot, moves around the web when necessary, but goes back to its spot otherwise. It's the same in the body. Any tension or tightness that begins to develop anywhere in the body, you go to it, release the tension, release the tightness, relax it, and then come back. And then keep vigilant. You've got stillness of the mind, but there's part of the mind that's doing some work. Otherwise, things get comfortable and you're going to drift off to sleep, which is not what you want. You want to be still but alert. Alertness means that you survey the body, survey the mind. Keep protecting them. Keep them together. Because the mind, when things get comfortable, needs work to do. So this is the work. You don't have to go anyplace else. Just be very vigilant over what you've got. And so we're not here just to rest. There's a stillness as you stay with your center. But there's also the alertness that goes around and makes a survey. You see this in the Buddha's description of mindfulness practice. On the one hand, you keep one topic in mind, like the breath. But at the same time, you make sure not to go after any thoughts of greed or distress with reference to the world. In other words, any thoughts that come up regarding your family, your home, your work, the world at large. You have to tell yourself, those are not what's important right now. What's really important is what you are doing right here. That's the basic message of the Buddha's teachings, that the really important things in the world are the choices you're making right here, right now. Because they do make a difference. As the Buddha once said, if everything were predetermined from the past, there would be no path to the end of suffering. You'd just be a victim of whatever influences are coming in from the past. And there'd be no path. You couldn't make any choices. But because we're putting the present moment together out of raw material from the past plus our intentions in the present moment, that's why the path is possible. That's why we can choose it to begin with. And it's also why when we stop doing fabrication in the present moment, everything falls apart. But that's a very special skill. Meantime, you try to fabricate things well. So right now, as you're looking after the breath, looking after the mind, one hand you're staying grounded in the breath, but also you're alert to see that any thoughts that go out toward the world, you have to cut them off. The best way to cut them off is not to argue with them. Just figure out where in the body there's some tension that goes along with that thought and dissolve it. That thought will have no place to stand and it'll go away. And when your concentration gets strong like this, vigilant like this, alert like this, then you can put it to use. One of the big things we have to deal with, of course, as we sit and meditate, is pain. You sit in one position for a long time, the blood gets cut off. You try to prevent that, say that there's a pain in your knee. You know that you tend to get a pain in your knee when you sit and meditate. So as soon as you sit down, as soon as the mind is with the breath, you start thinking of the breath energy going down the spine. Any tension or tightness in any spot in the spine, you relax it. Down through the hips, down through the leg, down through the knee, down past the knee, to make sure that the blood circulates properly. The breath energy circulates properly. And you're much less likely to get a pain there. But if there is pain, then there are three steps of dealing with it. The first step is not to send your mind to the pain. Focus instead on parts of the body that you can make comfortable by the way you breathe. Second step is to think of that comfortable breath energy flowing down the body to whatever part the pain is in, and then flowing through the pain. Because sometimes there's a sense that the pain has a wall around it, and that makes it difficult to get into. But think of the breath energy permeating through the wall, because after all, the wall is made out of what? It's made out of atoms. Atoms have a lot of space between them. So think of the breath energy going in that space, through the space, out the other side. And sometimes you find that the pain goes away. Other times it doesn't go away, but it's a lot less threatening because you're not just sitting there being the victim of the pain. You're being more proactive. You're probing it. You show that you're not afraid of it. And it can't hit you. You're a moving target. And what you want to see is that even though the potential for pain is there from your past karma, there are ways that you're talking to yourself, there are ways that you're breathing, your perceptions and feelings you're focusing on in an unskillful way. And that's what takes that physical pain and makes it a burden on the mind. So you look at the way you breathe. You ask yourself, how am I talking about this pain? You're talking about how long it's been there, how much longer it's going to be there. Stop that conversation. Just say, all I have to do is just be aware of the pain in the present moment. I'm not responsible for the past, not responsible for the future. Because if you start thinking about the past and the future, it's taking all that time and weighing down the present moment. That's too much for the present moment to bear. But if all you have is just the sensation in the present moment without any thought about how long it's been there, how long it's going to stay, it's a lot easier to deal with. And then you can ask yourself questions around it. Is the pain the same thing as your body? For instance, if there's a pain in the knee, is the pain the same thing as the knee? Well, no. The knee was there before. The pain came, the pain's gone away. It's a different kind of sensation. The sensations of the knee are earth, water, wind, and fire. The sensation of the pain is something else. It's a sharpness. Now, if you glom it on, especially to the earth element, the solidity of the body, makes the pain a lot more solid itself. It begins to take on some weight. But if you tell yourself, no, the pain is something separate. It's separate from the body, and it's also separate from the mind. The mind is aware of the pain. The pain is not aware of anything. And then you can ask yourself, where's the sharpest point of the pain? Just to show that you're not afraid of it. Find the sharpest point, and you'll find that it moves. In the old days when I was a child, they let us play with mercury. If a thermometer ever broke, you got to play with the mercury. Now, of course, they realize how poisonous it is. But I remember playing with the mercury one time. As soon as you put any pressure on it at all, it rolls away, spurts away. It's the same with the sharp point of the pain, wherever the sharpest point of the pain is. As soon as you focus on it, it goes someplace else. Making sure that, of course, that your focus is the right kind of focus. The focus that comes from being with a comfortable sensation, allowing that comfortable sensation to spread. In this case, you think of this allowing the pain to spread. And when it spreads, it doesn't just become bigger, it just moves. As you chase it down like this, there'll come a point where it really does feel like it's separating out of the body. The body is one thing, the pain is something else, your awareness is something else. Maintain that sense that they're separate, and it's a lot less of a burden. Sometimes you can ask yourself, is the pain a solid thing? Or does it just come in moments, arise and pass away, arise and pass away? When you can see that it's coming in moments, then the next step is to ask yourself, when it's coming Is it coming at you or is it going away? What you want is the perception that it's going away as soon as it arises. That way you're not the target. The pain is not aimed at you. Our problem is our minds are like vacuum cleaners. Anything bad comes up, we suck it right in. Turn off the vacuum cleaner. Just allow the pain to be there. But it's going away, going away, going away. And you'll find that's a lot easier to deal with. And these are some of the ways you can use your meditation as a basis for getting some insight. You see this process of fabrication, what's called sankhara in Pali, sankhan in Thai. It's how you're putting the present moment together. And you can learn how to do it in a skillful way. If you were just the victim of past conditions coming at you, there'd be nothing you could do. Even though you think you might have choices, but if the choices weren't real, there'd be nothing you can do. But the present moment is not totally shaped by the past. That was one of the few issues where the Buddha would actually go out and search out other people to argue with them about. People who taught that things were totally random without any cause, or things that were caused by a creator God, or totally caused by your past actions. He would go and argue with them. He said, look, if you believe that, then people are killers and stealers and liars in the present moment. They're not responsible for it. You can blame it all on the creator God. You can blame it on random events. Or you could blame it on your past actions. There'd be no choices. If there are no choices, there's no responsibility. But also, there's no possibility for freedom. But the fact that you have to put these things together in the present moment means that you can learn how to put them together skillfully. So that even though bad things are coming in from the past, you don't have to suffer. It's like having bad food in your kitchen. That's all you've got. Well, if you're a really skilled cook, you can still make good food out of it. Or if you have a combination of good food and bad food, you can focus on the good food. Leave the bad food alone. You have lots of room for choices in the present moment. So as we meditate, we're learning how to take advantage of that opportunity, that ability we have. Ultimately, we get to the point where the mind is not making choices. It's not fabricating anything in the present moment. And that's when you can be free. But to get there requires a lot of concentration, a lot of discernment. But you develop that concentration, you develop that discernment by dealing with the issues you have right here, right now. If pain is one of the issues, learn how to use your concentration as a basis for insight. So that although the pain may be there, you don't have to suffer from it. Like that question that John Swart asked. One afternoon we were sitting up at the sala. He pointed out to the mountain over there on the eastern horizon. He said, is that mountain heavy? You know, when John asks a question like this, it's a trick question. So nobody answered. So he answered. He said, well, if you try to pick it up, it'll be heavy on you. But if you don't try to pick it up, it's not heavy on you, even though it may be heavy in and of itself. And that's what matters. What we're learning as we meditate is learning how not to pick up mountains. The mountains can be there, but why do we have to carry them around? Same with the pain in the body. You're just a victim of the pain. You're carrying the pain around. You talk to yourself about how long it's been there, how much long it's going to be there. You're carrying the mountain around. But if you learn to develop these other skills so that you're not placing that mountain on you, then you can live with mountains but not be weighed down by them. And that's a good skill to know. We live in this world where there's aging, illness, and death. We can fend these things off a little bit, but there comes a point where you just can't. You have to live with them. When you have to live with them, learn how to live with them so they're not weighing you down. That's what these skills are for. When you learn how to do the meditation and maintain the meditation and use the meditation, you can live in a world full of mountains where there's nothing on top of you because you're not placing them on top of you. That's what makes all the difference.